I expressing appreciation again for your presence. We have several who are visiting with us. I know some are here visiting family because of the weekend, and we may have some who are with us who live in this community, who don't worship regularly somewhere or don't worship with God's people. We would be thrilled to have you come back and be with us this afternoon at 5. We meet on Wednesday nights at 7. And next Sunday again at 9 for Bible classes and 10 o'clock for worship. We appreciate so very much your being here this morning. As has been announced, in 2 weeks from today, our gospel meeting has been planned. And we'll be meeting the 15th, that Sunday through Wednesday night, the 18th. Brother Jeff Himmel will be with us at that time, and we look forward to that. I will be away next Sunday in a meeting in Limestone County. I'll be away Sunday through Wednesday. And so this is my sermon before our meeting, and I'm going to talk about our meeting and talk especially to those of us who are members here at Somerville Road. But I think what we're going to say, certainly we all can benefit from. We can profit from because of the things we will notice that the Word of God teaches. I want to just begin, and again, I'm talking to those of us who are members here, or you can think about where you attend church services. What is your reaction to our upcoming meeting? We've had it planned for some time. We're 2 weeks away. And I've just written down some different words, and I hope most of them don't describe us. There's one that I hope does describe us. But you know, I know in talking to people and in seeing people's reaction, there are different reactions sometimes when we talk about a gospel meeting coming up. One reaction is a reaction of being distraught, just dismay. Another reaction may be one of disgust. Well, why do we have to do this? What is our purpose? You know, I have other plans that I would like to carry on. Another reaction might be one of disinterest. One of just, I really don't care. Or one may be a reaction of disappointment, and I want to talk about that here a little bit more in just a minute. Or really the reaction that I hope we all have when we think about our gospel meeting, or really any meeting of the church that we're a part of, it's one of delight. We are excited about it. We look forward to it. It's delightful to think about being able to come together with other Christians and to worship God. And that's what we're doing this morning. I ask that Psalm chapter 1 be read. I want to look particularly at what is said by David in verse 2. But verse 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." And so David, his attitude was delighting in the Lord's law, meditating on God's law day and night. I want to couple that with the statement that David makes in Psalm chapter 122, verse 1. He says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" And so as we think about our upcoming gospel meeting, I hope we're thinking about it with delight, that we're excited about the opportunity to be able to come together and to worship God, to praise Him, to encourage, to edify one another. I want to say this before we make 3 points in our lesson this morning. And this has been true in my life, at different places. And that is, sometimes gospel meetings are a time of embarrassment to the local congregation. It may be a time of embarrassment to the elders or to the man who's doing the preaching, or those who attend regularly the services of the meeting. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes there's questions as to where people are or why those who are not here are not here. What are other people doing? And you look around and sometimes there are more visitors than there are those who regularly attend. Now that would be wonderful if all who could be here was here and we had more visitors. Or you're trying to explain to the visiting preacher why there are so few people present. What I want us to do this morning is just briefly look at three good reasons members should attend gospel meetings of the church where they are members. The first good reason is this: to support a great message. The message of the meeting that we're going to have is worthy of our support. And I'll just say in the very beginning that I am confident that the message that will be preached is the gospel of Christ. And that message is worthy of my support, of your support, of all support. I think of the statement that Paul made in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. He says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." The gospel message is worthy of our support. It is the wisdom of God. It is that which saves. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "So as much as in me is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so as we gather, Lord willing, in 2 weeks, and any time that someone stands before us and speaks, what is being spoken is the gospel of Christ, not the wisdom of men, not the philosophies of men, but the wisdom of Christ. And Paul warns about preaching any other gospel in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, "But even if we," Paul says, "are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." The gospel is able to produce faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Without faith, the Hebrew writer says in chapter 11, verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." It is the gospel that is able to produce faith. The gospel is able to save souls. James says in James 1, verse 21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And the gospel is able to build us up. After Paul had completed, well, let me stop there. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. "So now, brethren, I commend to you God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And so we are here, and we should be here to support a great message. The message is worthy of support, and not only that, but the messenger of the meeting is worthy of our support. The gospel is preached by faithful men. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul tells Timothy, "And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to save others also." And again, I am confident that Jeff will preach the gospel. I do want to say this. Whether I choose to come or not, and I feel silly saying that. To me, that is a choice. But I plan to be here, Lord willing. Not because I'm a preacher. I plan to be here because I'm a Christian. But Jeff is going to come, and he's going to preach whether or not all of us show up or not. But he deserves our support. The Apostle Paul, he taught. And I think about 2 Timothy chapter 4 as he's coming to the end of his life in verse 16. And he says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." That didn't keep him from teaching and preaching the Word of God. Those who teach the doctrine of Christ, they are worthy of our support. I want to skip through anyone who speaks the Word. And we're going to look at a couple of passages that is referring to those who are elders. But anyone who speaks the Word, they're worthy of our support. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." He's talking about elders. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." But you know, we not only need to support gospel preaching because the messenger is worthy of our support, but we need to support them for our own good. What will be taught will be for our good. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." When Jeff comes and he preaches, and we listen, he will benefit from that. But if we are here and we're listening and we're taking to heart what is being taught, then it'll benefit us. It'll be for our good. Let me suggest a second reason why members should attend gospel meetings. That is to receive a great message. And this message that we will receive will increase and refresh our knowledge. I want to say something. I was talking to a really good friend of mine several years ago. He was struggling spiritually and he was struggling about attending services. You know what? He says, "I just hear the same thing over and over again when I go. I hear things that I've heard before." Well, you know, that's not bad. If we're preaching from the same book and we're studying from the same book, we ought to be learning the same thing. And I know there needs to be a variety in our teaching, but we need to be reminded sometimes. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm just going to reference the 13 Wednesdays in January, February, and March that we had different speakers here. The elders had arranged for different men to come and to speak to us on Wednesday night. And there was not a single night that I was present that I didn't learn something. Or to put it another way, I learned something every single time. And I would hate to think that I just purposefully did not come because I know what I've missed out on. Peter says, as newborn babes, we're to desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? That we may grow thereby. It is spiritual nutrition that we must have in order for us to grow. Paul says to Timothy, remind them of these things. It may, I'll say this. Again, in every one of the Wednesday nights, these past 13 Wednesday nights, I've been reminded of things of which I needed to be reminded. If I'm hearing something I've heard before, the inspired Word says, as Paul speaks to Timothy, you remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Peter says, you know. You're established, but I'm not going to be negligent to remind. We need to be reminded. I dare say that all of us, as our children were growing up, and maybe even as they're grown, we remind our children of certain things. You get in the car, you're going somewhere, and mother and daddy, they're looking at you, and they're just reminding you. We're going here, and here's the way you need to behave. You don't need to be doing this. You know, I can remember as a child thinking, well, you've told me that before. They were just reminding me, and I'm going to tell you, I needed to be reminded. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. And so, this message that we will hear will increase and refresh our knowledge. It will confirm and increase our faith. In Acts chapter 14, as Paul was returning from his first preaching tour, he says, or verse 22 says, he was strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. He was telling them things to strengthen them, to increase their faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. This great message that we will receive will help us to identify and avoid false teachers. We were discussing this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 here in the auditorium class how deceitful false teachers are. They come transforming themselves as apostles of Christ, as apostles of lie, but they're deceitful. And when we hear the message, it helps us to distinguish between what is true and what is false. And we can identify those who are teaching false doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. You who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. And he goes on and he tells the motive behind some false teachers. He says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceitful words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. How do we identify a false teacher? And we said this morning in our class, let's just take here in the city of Decatur. I don't know how many congregations there are. But I would assume that most all would believe that the Bible is the Word of God. At least they would say that. And that we're to follow it. And yet what you have is you have just about as many different teachings as you have groups. And one thing that I know from that is all cannot be right. All could be wrong. But all cannot be right. And so we have to be able to decipher, distinguish between a false teacher. And that's just someone who's teaching something that's not the truth. And the truth. And as we hear the message taught again and again and again and again, that helps us in being able to make that distinction. Paul, as he writes to Timothy, and he charges him to preach the Word, he says there in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And then in verse 4, he says, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We need to be able to identify and avoid false teachers. And we need to hear the message because it will prepare us to teach our neighbors. Greg made an interesting point Wednesday night when he said that when we gather like this, and again, we're so happy that everybody is here, but our teaching and our preaching primarily is for those of us who are Christians to exhort, to encourage, to build up the church, to edify the church. We're talking about the local church. And certainly our teaching is to try to teach those who are not Christians. But as you study the New Testament, what you find is that the church was out teaching people. When I say the church, I'm talking about Christians, members of the church. They were out teaching people, converting people, and then they became a part of the church. And the responsibility we have, as we hear the message, is to go out and teach our neighbors. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 to His disciples, go therefore, His apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, we're here to support a great message. We come to receive a great message. And then thirdly, we come to send a great message. And what I mean by that is this. By my being here, or by my not being here, it sends a message. The message of my being present, the message that is sent is, it sends a message about my commitment to the cause of Christ. Luke chapter 10, verse 27, when the lawyer came to Jesus, tempting him, wanting him to know what was the greatest commandment, here's what Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. I want you to think about that as I think about that. We are to love God with all of our mind, strength, soul, and might. And people ought to be able to see that. By the way we live our lives, people ought to be able to see that. That we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And my attendance sends a message about my commitment. Not to the church. Not to the church here at Summer. It sends a commitment about my, or sends a message about my commitment to the cause of Christ. My attendance sends a message about my attitude toward gospel meetings. Do we really need them? You know, we meet. We meet for 3 hours on Sunday if we're present at the Bible classes in both worship periods. And we meet on Wednesday night for about an hour. We have Bible classes and we gather for a short worship period. Isn't that enough? Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing before God in judgment and saying those words that I've just said to Him? And I don't know what God would say, but I know what He could say. He could say, could you not give me 4 hours in worship with the local congregation? Could you not give me 4 hours out of a week? And it just makes me feel ashamed to think sometimes that 4 hours. And if we're not careful, we begin to think, well, look, man, I just don't know if I have time for that. I just don't know how I can work that in my schedule. Well, if it can't be worked in our schedule, we need to change our schedule. It sends a message about my priorities in life. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It sends a message about my attitude toward the gospel itself. When I think about the objects of my message, you know, I'm sending a message to the community. The people around me, they're watching. They know. What kind of message am I sending? I'm sending a message to my friends. Am I getting the message across to my friends and to the community and to my family and to my brethren and even the preacher who's going to be here that I love the Lord God with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength? I want to say this, and I understand that there are sometimes circumstances beyond our control that keep us from being present when the church meets. I do understand that. More importantly, God understands that. It really doesn't matter whether I understand. God understands that. But in 2 weeks from today, our gospel meeting will begin. Now, we'll be meeting again tonight at 5, and we'll be meeting again on Wednesday at 7. And we'll do that again, Lord willing, next week. And then the following Sunday, our gospel meeting will begin. And we'll be meeting Monday through Wednesday at 7, the regular times on Sunday. If you're not present at any of the services that the church here has and you're a member here, if you're not here, will it be because you really would like to be here, but you just couldn't be here because of circumstances beyond your control? Or is it, I could be there, but I'm not there because of circumstances within my control? The elders may or may not know. Other members may or may not know your circumstances. I think we need to love one another to find out. It may be that you need our help physically, or maybe that you need help spiritually. But you know your circumstances, and God knows your circumstances. And a lot of times, well, I think what we see when people choose not to worship with the church that they're a part of, whenever the church is worshiping, and they can be there, what we see is a symptom of the real problem. Not being present is not the problem. That's a symptom of the problem. The problem is we have a heart disease. We don't love God as we should. And what I'm hoping that this lesson will do is to cause each of us to think. And when I stand before God in the end, He's going to judge me based on decisions that I've made concerning His Word. And He could very well say to me, why didn't you love me with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? That was the greatest commandment. And the second is like to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Or He might ask that in the form of a question, did you love? What would I be, Lord? I really wanted to. I just couldn't seem somehow to work that out. None of us would want to stand before the Lord and have to say something like that. I look forward with delight to the gospel meeting. I look forward to delight each time that we gather as a congregation to worship God, to serve Him, because it does me good. I believe the Lord wants me here. And it gives me an opportunity to send a message to others that I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what is first in my life is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're going to sing the song that has been selected. The question asked is this: is thy heart right with God? You answer that. And if it's not, you do whatever's necessary to make it right as we stand and sing.